Zacchaeus. The name sounds funny to our ears. To the ears of his contemporaries, the name must have sounded not funny at all, but ironic, for its meaning in Hebrew was innocent or pure. Zacchaeus was considered anything but innocent or pure by his fellow Jews. Their name for him would more likely be abuser or exploiter. For Zacchaeus worked for the hated Romans who had conquered and occupied the land of Palestine. He had won the tax-collecting franchise awarded by the Romans to enterprising traders. He acquired wealth easily in the prosperous resort town of Jericho, where the system allowed the tax collector to send in only what the Romans required, and was free to keep anything he collected above that. Zacchaeus was a certifiable sinner, wealthy because he had systematically victimized the poor and hated for being a Jew who routinely exploited fellow Jews. Now, I know most of you are too young to remember the old Jack Benny radio and television programs, but I remember one show in which a holdup man approached Jack Benny, stuck a pistol in his ribs, and said, "Your money or your life." After a long, long pause, the holdup man impatiently said again, "Your money or your life." To which Benny finally responded, "I'm thinking, I'm thinking." In a way, that's the theme of Jesus' teaching in today's gospel. Your money or your life, Zacchaeus, with the emphasis being on your life. And apparently like Benny, Zacchaeus had been thinking. Thinking about the man Jesus, about whom he was hearing so much, the man who was known for eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Surely that indicated his acceptance of them, didn't it? But then he had also heard Jesus' statement about it being easier to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. There was a lot to think about, and Zacchaeus was certainly thinking and curious, curious enough to climb a tree in order for a person of his small stature to get a good view of Jesus as he passed by. I wonder, too, if he wasn't thinking about that the great wealth he was continually amassing did little to fill the enormous loneliness gap that, in fact, it had made him an outcast among his own people. Well, you heard the rest of the story. Jesus comes by, looks up, and astonishingly asks for the sinner's hospitality. And even more astonishingly, Zacchaeus immediately makes vows of repentance and reparation. In fact, he promises to go far beyond what was legally necessary. Naturally, the nearby crowd mutters in annoyance that a righteous person was not chosen for his companionship. Then Jesus said to them, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he," meaning Zacchaeus, "he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." End of story. Well, hardly. The story continues. We recognize that the story is continued yet today in countless examples of illegal and immoral schemes for amassing wealth. It continues in the grumblings of the crowds, voices raised in hate against those who have been made outcasts in our own midst by virtue of gender or sexual identity or religious affiliation or alien status, or merely by non-threatening cultural differences. It continues in the angry voices which too often drown out the voices of moderation and compassion. It continues in the cries of the many currently skirting the edges of poverty and homelessness in our country and around the globe. Jesus told many stories about money, using them to illustrate various moral truths. This story is not one of them. Well, yes, it has a lot of money talk, but notice it is all from the lips of Zacchaeus. I will give half my wealth. I will restore what I stole. Money. He spoke only in terms of money. By contrast, Jesus acted as if he had not even heard the word money. He talked about the person Zacchaeus, the human being created by God, reminding him and those who hated him of his heritage as one who walks in the footsteps of Abraham. And like Abraham, he is a beloved child of God and an inheritor of God's eternal kingdom. A great many years ago, Rudyard Kipling, in a commencement address, said something that all would do well to remember. He was warning the students against an over-concern with money and position and glory. Kipling said, "Someday you will meet a person who cares for none of those things. Then you will know how poor you are." Kipling might well have been speaking to Zacchaeus, the money-making, money-loving, all-about-money man, before he met that very person that Kipling described. That person, of course, was Jesus, the same Jesus who called Zacchaeus down from his one-dimensional world of, greed and offered him friendship. "I must stay at your house. I want to be with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me." With that, Zacchaeus experienced the radical love and acceptance that transformed him. No, it really isn't much of a story, so much a story about money or its corrupting influence. We don't need to be shown that. We know all that quite well. This is a story about forgiveness and acceptance, rare enough attributes in human relationships, but eternally offered by God, who loves us too much to lose us. No doubt about it, Zacchaeus was truly a victimizer, a sinner of the first magnitude. And truly, his transformation came about through the liberating love of God. For indeed, the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. The story shows clearly that God's acceptance of Zacchaeus came before the chief tax collector's repentance, not the other way around. Jesus showed God's forgiveness by entering his life and his household, the household of a sinner, after which the sinner's repentance followed as a consequence. I've been reading a bit about liturgy, and I'm grateful to a Brooklyn priest that I don't know. Her name is the Reverend Angela Askew. I enjoyed her writing concerning our Episcopal liturgy. In spite of my admittedly excessive love for the Book of Common Prayer, which has prompted some local wits to refer to me as the prayer book Nazi, I applaud Ms. Askew's critique concerning the BCP's confession and absolution. She writes, "In our liturgy, we put confession first and absolution afterwards." Now, if we have spent many years doing this week after week on Sundays, we cannot help but get the impression that first we have to repent, and then we get forgiveness as a reward for our repentance. But we should point out that God actually does things, this thing, backwards. With God, forgiveness and acceptance is there before we repent. And this is always and everywhere our chief reason for thanksgiving, be it in the Eucharistic prayer we call the Great Thanksgiving, or in the tiny prayers of gratitude in the course of daily life. That is why the story of Zacchaeus comes so near to the end of Luke's narrative of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the cross. What Jesus showed to a chief tax collector in Jericho is that God accepts and transforms the unacceptable. God loves the unlovable. He forgives the unforgivable. So we see that the story of Zacchaeus really has little to do with the use and misuse of money after all. It has everything to do with the fact that Zacchaeus was saved by grace and invited to new life. And so are we all. Amen.